Welcome back to Reliving the War, and welcome to the 27th of January 1997. WCW just presented Clash of the Champions 34 and NWO Sold Out. Their Nitro show is live from Des Moines, Iowa, while WWF Raw is a taped show from Beaumont, Texas. Make sure you watch the Clash of the Champions and Sold Out videos to see where we're currently at with WCW's programming. And if you're all caught up, let's check out the first 60 minutes of Monday Nitro. Eric Bischoff and the Outsiders sit at the commentary desk at the beginning of Nitro, and first thing on the agenda is to get Randy Anderson out and fire him. The Steiners defeated Hall and Nash last night at Sold Out, and Randy Anderson ran down to make the three count. Anderson was not supposed to be at the show, and he admits to Eric that he was given a ticket by the event promoter. Eric says Randy accepted a gift from WCW staff, and this is against company policy. So based on his actions at Sold Out, and because he accepted this gift, Randy gets fired. The Outsiders laugh as poor Randy gets sent away, and yeah, this was well done. You can't help but feel sorry for Anderson. The Steiners are then brought out, and Eric Bischoff tells Rick and Scott to hand over the tag team titles. This dude here looks like he's really fucking nervous. The Steiners end up throwing the belts down to the Outsiders. They give in. The belts make a really worrying noise when they hit the concrete. Pick it up! And it looks like Hall and Nash are once again the WCW Tag Team Champions. Rick and Scott offer the Outsiders a match, but the Faces of Fear come out instead. We have the Steiners versus Ming and the Barbarian, and I tried to put the Steiners on the Ming Manly meter, but the meter ran away in fear of getting broken again. During the match, Rick takes this shot right here from Ming, and it does some real damage. Rick is seriously groggy for the next few minutes, and you can tell that the lights are on, but no one's home. Thankfully, he still makes it through the match. Scotty Steiner gets the tag and he takes over. The match ends with an overhead belly-to-belly suplex and the Steiners get the win. During this match, it was announced that the tag team titles will be on the line later in the night, and Hall and Nash will face worthy opponents. And also, Hollywood Hulk Hogan is in the building and he will appear on Nitro. Tony and Larry are now on commentary duties as our next match begins. The extremely charismatic Roadblock taking on the Giant. The Giant absolutely destroys Roadblock, and after the bout, he challenges Hulk Hogan to a sold-out rematch. The Giant wants Hogan tonight in the main event of Monday Nitro. Eddie Guerrero versus Jeff Jarrett is our next matchup, and Deborah showed up along with Steve Mongo McMichael. Deborah wanted Mongo to help Jarrett, but instead, Jeff gets whacked with the magical briefcase. Deborah raises Jarrett's hand afterwards because Double J gets awarded a DQ victory, and she tells Mongo he's in trouble when they get home. Larry Zbysko says this.
That's why you should keep him in the kitchen.
The commentators then try to show footage of the Piper vs. Hogan match at Sold Out, but the tape gets interrupted. Out comes Eric Bischoff shouting at Tony and Larry to never pull a stunt like that again, and Eazy-E destroys the tape before walking off. We have Ultimo Dragon vs. Billy Pearl. I know I've seen this guy before, and yeah, it's Bran Walsh. We saw him wrestle on Raw all the way back in episode 7. Do you ever watch old episodes of Reliving the War these days? It's fucking painful, isn't it? Anyway, Dragon predictably wins the match, but surprisingly, Walsh got in quite a lot of offense. Even after the troubles earlier with Deborah and Mongo, the Horsemen come out and they say they're finally united as one. Honestly, it's just more of the same here. Deborah bullshits by saying she supported Benoit from the start. Benoit talks about beating Sullivan at the Clash and he's taken everything away from him. Double A and Mongo continue to hate Jeff Jarrett. Nothing is progressed here. Benoit announces though that he will be in action later tonight. Lex Luger versus Ron Powers? Let me check this. He lasts for 2 weeks before taking a 3-year break, never to be seen in WCW again. Brilliant. What exactly happened while he was there that made him take a 3-year break? Luger wins with the rack. It lasts all of 60 seconds. That's what she said. Lex gets interviewed afterwards and he puts the Giant over. Lex says the NWO needs to be stopped and the Total Package knows firsthand how dangerous the Giant can be. Lex welcomes the Giant as a member of WCW, and Lex is happy to have the Giant fighting the good fight. And that was the first 60 minutes of Monday Nitro. Very promo heavy, but still entertaining. No reason not to give Nitro the unopposed point this week. Raw kicks off with action straight away. We have Ahmed Johnson versus Crush, while WCW gives us the Amazing French Canadians, no, not the Quebecers, the Amazing French Canadians versus Arn Anderson and Steve McMichael. Savio Vega is now a member of the Nation of Domination, by the way. Savio joined the group on Shotgun Saturday night, but we'll look at this a little later on. Savio and Farouk didn't come to the ring with Crush. Ahmed goes after what Nation members he can, but Crush attacks from behind, putting Ahmed at an immediate disadvantage when the match gets in the ring. Crush then has a match with his hairband, and the hairband wins. Ahmed seizes this opportunity and a power slam gets delivered, and Ahmed then hits a scissors kick before standing there looking very proud of himself indeed. Crush gets destroyed with a jumping punch, Ahmed continues to rip off Booker T with a standing heel kick, and Ahmed then misses a wild elbow drop. Here, have a listen.
However distracted, whoa!
Crush answers with an inverted atomic drop and a belly-to-belly suplex. It looks like Crush is going to cry afterwards, and I really don't blame him. We then see a very awkward-looking body scissors, and Crush applies a camel clutch before we go to commercial break. Farouk is seen sneaking around the curtain just before we cut away. More awkwardness follows when we come back. An electric chair drop from Johnson doesn't look too hot. Crush then goes for a backbreaker and he struggles to get Ahmed up for the move. You're just about to give up all hope on this match, but then Ahmed counters a top rope double axe handle with a standing dropkick. Credit where it's due, this looked good. Ahmed then throws Crush out of the ring, he lays in a few punches. Crush gets thrown back inside the ropes, but he distracts the referee, allowing Farouk to come down and Johnson takes a beating. Farouk puts Ahmed back into the ring, Crush lands his devastating career-ending hard punch, and Crush picks up a pinfall victory. It's a shame here, really. I thought Ahmed done a pretty decent job at the Royal Rumble, but this match was poor, there's no other way to say it. The dropkick was good, but that was the only highlight. Tony Schiavone wonders if Hulk Hogan's going to accept the Giant's challenge tonight as our tag team match gets underway on Nitro. My appreciation for Mark Curtis grows stronger every week too. He's even animated when calling for the opening bell. The French Canadians outsmart Mongo and Anderson, and Double A takes a beating. The Enforcer then gets thrown out of the ring and Robert Parker gets involved. It isn't looking good for Double A here at all. Anderson tries to fight out of the Amazing French Canadians corner, but Rougeau and Ouellette keep Arn at bay. Mongo is proving to be a pretty shitty horseman right about now. We get some double team moves from the Amazing French Canadians in the middle of the ring. The commentators are too busy talking about Randy Anderson. Double A tries to fight back, but Jacques Rougeau tags in Carl Ouellette, and the Enforcer takes a hard clothesline. It's been all Amazing French Canadians so far, and I'm itching to see Mongo's hot tag. Arn takes a great looking double stun gun, but what isn't so great looking is Ouellette's atomic drop. They were trying to do the rebound spot here and it just wasn't the best. Mongo even looks on thinking that he could do better. Arn tells McMichael to show us all how it's done. McMichael gets the tag, and fair play to him, he doesn't try to rush in and clean house. He takes the time to let the crowd pop before holding up the symbol of excellence, and then he cleans house. Mongo is totally in charge here. He clips Carl's knee with his little football tackle. Carl also gets backdropped, and we see a good spot where Mongo picks up Rougeau and he throws him on Ouellette. Ouellette catches his partner, and so Mongo decides to clothesline both guys. Fucking Mongo surprising me here, good stuff. The match ends with Ouellette trying to use the flag, but while the referee's distracted, Mongo uses the magical briefcase on Rougeau, and the horsemen pick up the win. This match was designed specifically to make Steve McMichael look good. One slip up and it would have fallen into standard Mongo territory, but he done well here. Monday Nitro gets the point. Shawn Michaels and the Final Four are going to cut a promo on Raw next, while Nitro puts on two matches, The Outsiders versus The Extreme and Joe Gomez versus The Taskmaster. I know single Raw matches have been going up against two Nitro matches or promos quite a lot recently, and I'll address this too at the end of today's episode. Right then, Shawn Michaels, nice smile you got there pal, be a shame if you lost it. Vince McMahon says the Boy Who Dreamed continued at the 1997 Royal Rumble, but on February 13th, on a special Thursday episode of Raw named Thursday Raw Thursday, HBK will have to once again face Psycho Sid, and the WWF title will be on the line. By the way, we're just going to compare Thursday Raw Thursday to Monday Nitro as usual. Anyway, Shawn thinks to himself, that's where you're wrong buddy, I'm not wrestling anybody, as McMahon hypes up this title match. Sean says he's giving Sid this title shot because Sid gave HBK a shot at the Royal Rumble. Sean then says he had to earn that title shot at the Royal Rumble, and I said, no you fucking didn't. Sean didn't wrestle on TV at all from Survivor Series right up to the Royal Rumble, but here's a bit of trivia for you. Did you know that Shawn Michaels faced Mankind at In Your House It's Time? It was a main event dark match, the very last match of the evening. Anyway, Vince tells Sean that if he wins, he has to face one of the final four, and McMahon throws up the symbol of excellence while Mongo laughs in the distance. Sean says it's all about the WWF Championship, a title that's recently brought out the very worst in the superstars of the World Wrestling Federation. Sean says if being bad is what makes him great, and if being bad is what makes him champion, then that's exactly what he's going to do. Bret Hart comes out first and Sean tries to shake his hand, Bret refuses. The Hitman must have knew something was up here because the first thing he tells Sean is to make sure he walks into WrestleMania 13 as champion. Whatever Sean has to do, Bret tells him to do it because Hart wants to beat Sean at WrestleMania for the WWF Championship. Bret says he doesn't want Sean to injure himself, he doesn't want excuses, and he wants HBK at 100%. It gets so bad that Vince McMahon has to cut Bret off by talking about Psycho Sid. Bret says he's rooting for Sean at Thursday Raw Thursday, and Bret even says he'll have HBK's back. Whatever it takes to get Hart versus Michaels inside the ring at WrestleMania. Fucking hell. The Undertaker is out next and the Deadman says he respects Bret Hart, but he doesn't respect Bret Hart's complaining as of late. If anyone's been screwed out of the WWF Championship, it's The Undertaker. The Phenom reminds Bret of the 1996 Royal Rumble where Diesel robbed Taker of the championship, and The Undertaker tells Shawn that the WWF title is finally coming back to the dark side. Look at HBK, his usual confidence and attitude is completely missing here. Undertaker says Sean's belt and body will belong to the Deadman, and Bret clearly thinks of the innuendo here. Out next is Royal Rumble winner Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Austin says he knows an ambush when he sees one, so he isn't getting into the ring. Stone Cold says that inside the ropes are three crybabies and little boy Blue, great line by the way, and Austin says the no disqualification rules of the final four match are right up his alley. Vader has appeared at the entranceway as Austin continues on. Stone Cold says he's going to win it In Your House before walking off. He then notices Vader at the entranceway and he threatens to step into the ring, but Stone Cold thinks twice and Vader allows him to walk by. I enjoyed this segment quite a bit. It's the beginning of a really messy title situation that's going to last all the way up to WrestleMania. The Outsiders said they'd defend the tag team titles, and that's exactly what they do. They go up against The Extreme, a team that consists of Ace Starling and Devon Storm, maybe better known as Crowbar. It's exactly what you'd imagine it to be, and it's exactly what Nash and Hall wanted it to be, a complete squash match. Hall starts off by cheap-shotting Ace, and well, from here the match might as well be over. This reminded me of Razor Ramon destroying jobbers during his WWF days. Hall is very stiff here, and it looks like he's enjoying himself. After hitting a fallaway slam, Hall brings Ace to his own corner, and he helps Ace make a tag. Hall then tags in Big Sexy, Nash hits a short arm clothesline, he follows this up with a sidewalk slam, Hall gets tagged back in and the match ends with an Outsider's Edge. Just like that. The draw here is seeing the Outsiders. It's easy to look back in hindsight and rip these guys apart, but the crowd absolutely ate up anything these two did. They looked unstoppable, they looked incredibly strong. But anyone wanting to see a competitive wrestling match should probably switch the channel. Still, it's pretty hard to switch the channel when Hall and Nash walk out. Hope you really, really like squash matches, by the way, because the Taskmaster defeated Joe Gomez next in around 45 seconds. There's a fist fight to start us off, but the match quickly goes to the outside, where Sullivan throws a chair at Gomez. They get back in the ring, Sullivan lands a right hand, we see the double stomp, and the Taskmaster wins via pinfall. Absolute shite. We'll be seeing Sullivan a little later on too, hooray for us. Giving Raw this point, much more interesting stuff happening on Raw. I like seeing the Outsiders, but you can't really recommend this match. Yes, British Bulldog vs Doug Furness on Raw, Hollywood Hogan promo on Monday Nitro. Davey Boy Smith looks happy to see us this week, and he's gonna try his best to stay away from those chin locks. Owen's wearing a sick tracksuit this week too, he's gonna guard the tag team titles and his Slammy Award as our match gets underway. Headlock from Davey Boy Smith. We get a drop down leapfrog sequence that ends with Doug Furness landing a dropkick and Davey gets sent to the outside. Davey gets back into the ring, he takes a few chops, and then Furness decides to give Davey the most extreme deadly chest bump you've ever seen in your life. Bulldog continues to take a beating. He takes a suplex from Furness, but he manages to kick out of the following pin attempt. He scurries to the corner after nearly bumping into Phil LaFon on the outside, and Bulldog finally gets the chance to take control after dodging a corner attack. Furness takes a hard bump to the outside. Vince McMahon announces that Owen and Davey will defend the tag team titles at In Your House Final 4 against Furness and LaFon, as Davey gets away with using the ring steps as a weapon. McMahon also says that Ahmed Johnson is trying to find the Nation backstage, and when we come back from a commercial break, we see Ahmed busting down doors and finding nobody. When we come back to in-ring action, we see the
Davey Boy Smith chinlock.
Furness fights out, but he gets put right back down, and Davey even tries to kick Phil LaFon's head off. Davey keeps the pressure on when Furness tries to fight back. Bulldog ends up completely no-selling a chop, and he hits a hard clothesline. You get the impression that Davey is maybe a little pissed off tonight. Furness counters a piledriver attempt with a back body drop, but he can't capitalize afterwards. Davey makes it to his feet first, and Furness ends up taking a suplex. Furness kicks out, so there's only one thing to do.
Davey Boy Smith chinlock.
While the chinlock gets applied, Owen screams that Phil LaFon gives Canada a bad name, and Phil LaFon is just like Owen's lousy brother Brett. Furness fights out and he manages to hit another dropkick. He follows this up with an overhead belly-to-belly suplex, and then he hits Davey with a power slam that was dangerously close to not having enough rotation. After Davey kicks out of another pin attempt, he counters a Frankensteiner with a powerbomb. He covers Furness, but Furness kicks out. Owen jumps on the apron holding his Slammy Award, and Phil LaFon also jumps up. The plan is obvious here, and Owen gets ready to whack Furness, but Furness counters it and Davey gets nailed. You think this is the end of the match, but Davey kicks out at 2, Furness gets distracted by Owen Hart, who just entered the ring, and the British Bulldog does the classic SummerSlam 1992 finish to end the match. The British Bulldog wins via pinfall. After the bout, the Bulldog and Owen tease a breakup. Davey isn't happy that Owen hit him with the Slammy Award, and Owen apologises. A Bulldog chant breaks out in the audience as the two men continue to argue. Davey even throws down his tag team belt when Owen tries to give it to him, but eventually the two men shake hands and the crowd boos. There was an opportunity here to turn Davey Boy face, but the WWF were going to let this one play out for a few weeks. A good TV match, by the way, I enjoyed this one. What's Hogan got to say this week then, and will he accept the Giant's challenge to another match? Let's find out. Bischoff couldn't brown nose Hogan anymore if he tried. Bischoff talks about Hogan's scientific wrestling display last night, and yes, I know he's being sarcastic. Hulk wants to stand at the other side of Eric though, so he can show off his wanking arm. Hogan is clearly a lefty when shaking his bestie, and that python has been and that python is maybe a little more brothered than the other. Hulk says we have a failure to communicate here. Hulk said before that anyone who steps into the ring with Hollywood is simply not in the same league. Hulk says he worked the Giant over with some Olympic style wrestling moves last night, and I like how the first thing Hogan thinks of when thinking about technical wrestling is a reverse fireman's carry.
Technical maneuvers, reverse fireman carries, he had-
It's so random. Hulk says he's got a new movie coming up, Shadow Soldiers. I think he meant Shadow Warriors here, for fuck's sake Hulk. Maybe it was the early name for the movie, who knows. As Hogan continues to put himself over, Randy Savage and Sting show up and they watch from the audience. Bischoff tells Savage he still isn't allowed to compete in a WCW ring, but if he joins the New World Order, well then that's an option that could work. Sting and Savage disappear and Hogan confirms that he'll face the Giant tonight. He even says he'd wrestle the Giant 9 times a week, for free. I fucking bet he wouldn't. Decent Hogan promo here, you know what you're getting with these interview spots, and I much prefer these promos in the middle of Nitro instead of at the very end. Still, I'm going with Monday Night Raw, Bulldog vs Furness was pretty good. The WWF are showing us some footage from a Madison Square Garden house show and some footage from Shotgun Saturday Night, while Dean Malenko battles Jerry Flynn on Nitro. We see clips of a tag team match featuring Ahmed Johnson teaming up with Savio Vega, they were facing Crush and Farouk. This apparently happened on Saturday night, so when did Shotgun take place? Well, this garden show definitely took place on the Saturday, and Shotgun also took place on the Saturday. So you had guys pulling double duty by working two New York venues on the same night. At the Madison Square Garden show, Ahmed Johnson had the Nation beat, but Savio wanted tagged in. Ahmed went to his corner and Savio double crossed him, leading to Farouk winning the match. On Shotgun, Savio said he made a mistake and his temper got the better of him. He promised to do better in his match with Rocky Maivia, but it was confirmed during the match that Savio was now part of the Nation of Domination. To be honest, they needed to do something, anything, with Savio Vega, and adding new Nation members made sense. This is the core Nation faction that we would see over the next couple of months. Dean and Jerry Lynn with an F go through a wrist lock routine, and it ends with Flynn nailing Dean with a hook kick. Malenko takes a few kicks in the corner and Flynn pulls off the Savio Vega wheel kick. It looked way better than the last time we saw him do it, so good job. When Flynn gets back inside the ropes, he takes an overhead belly to belly suplex. Dean then slides out of the ring and he trips his opponent up. Dean's going to target the knee here, it seems, and work on softening the bigger Jerry Flynn up a little. Dean gets back inside the ropes and he twists the knee and ankle. The match stays on the mat for a little while, and when the two men go to the corner, Flynn pulls off some rapid fire punches that look a little weird. Check this out. I'm confused. Flynn does make up for it by kicking Malenko off the top rope. Flynn then follows up with a good looking power slam, but upon closer inspection, it looks like Jerry almost brained himself while doing the move. Close call. Flynn tries to kick Dean, Dean grabs the leg, we see a Texas Cloverleaf and it's all over. Dean wins via submission. Not a great match, Dean is fantastic when on offense, and we didn't see much of that here. Interesting seeing Vega join the Nation of Domination, but it would have been better if this happened on Raw or even on pay-per-view. No points for either show. To end this week's episode of Reliving the War, we have a tag team match on Raw, Vader and Mankind taking on the Godwins, whoop-dee-doo, and we have Hugh Morris vs Chris Benoit and The Giant vs Hulk Hogan on Nitro. This should tell you that the Giant vs Hogan match doesn't last very long, while the Godwins tag team match goes on forever. Let's get the Raw match out of the way first. And what really hit home while I watched this was how the WWF totally messed up when it came to Vader. I recently rewatched the whole Vader vs Ric Flair stuff from Starrcade 1993 for a video, and Vader was such an unstoppable force in WCW. And as much as I like Mick Foley, this tag team felt like a classic case of the WWF saying, "We have nothing for you guys." Anyway, we see footage of the WWF holding a press conference in the Toronto Sky Dome. Tiger Jeet Singh's son, Tiger Ali Singh, has joined the WWF, we'll see more of him in the future. As the bout begins, Vince McMahon announces that the 1997 Royal Rumble match will be shown next week on Raw. Raw will also be held in the Toronto Sky Dome, so quite the episode next week for viewers at home. Just to let you know, we won't be looking at the Royal Rumble again next week. Phineas doesn't give Mankind a chance to do anything before tagging out. Vader wants Mankind to tag him in, but he doesn't do it. Instead, Mankind tries to go toe-to-toe with Henry Godwin, and that doesn't work out too well. Mankind ends up right beside Vader once again, and once again he refuses to tag in his partner. Phineas comes back in, Mankind throws him to the outside. Vader might finally get a chance to do some damage, but no. Foley throws the Hog Farmer back into the ring, and Vader wants to know what on earth is going on. The two men stare at each other and Vader takes matters into his own hands. He ends up tagging in by getting into the ring and slapping Mankind on the back, and Mike Chioda allows this. Vader beats the shit out of Phineas in the corner, absolute no mercy. Phineas then takes a hard clothesline and Vader looks directly at Mankind afterwards. Vader then plays ball and he tags Mankind in, and as the mandible claw gets applied, Vince McMahon says Ahmed Johnson is still running around backstage looking for the Nation of Domination. Henry runs in and he breaks up the claw by sending both Mankind and Phineas over the top rope. Vader makes sure that Phineas doesn't suplex Mankind back into the ring, and we see Vader and Mankind actually work together to flip Phineas over the ropes. Paul Bearer can be heard telling his wrestlers to watch out for Henry coming by the stairs, and right enough, Henry leaps off the steps and a fistfight breaks out between he and Vader. Not gonna lie, this was awesome. We come back from a commercial break and Mankind hits his head on the ring post. Phineas and Foley tag out and Henry gets a chance to fight with Vader once again, Vader takes a clothesline and a body slam, but Henry pays with a thumb to the eye and a haymaker from the man they call Vader. Henry comes back with a sidewalk slam, but a follow-up elbow drop completely misses. Vader then goes to work once again on Henry before sending him to the outside of the ring, and the match comes to an end when Mankind swings a chair at the Hog Farmer, but he ends up hitting Vader. Henry gets back into the ring, and the Godwins win via countout. Again, gonna be honest, this was one of the better Godwins matches, and I think that's because they weren't afraid to get physical with Vader. Not a great main event, but not a terrible match either. Mankind leaves the ringside area before Vader can get to him. And just before Raw ends, we see Ahmed Johnson catching up with the Nation of Domination in the parking lot. Wolfie D, or I think it's Wolfie D, gets thrown into the car trunk and the Nation drives off. So Ahmed actually assisted the Nation in getting away. Makes perfect sense. Tony Schiavone gets a telegram from WCW offices and it says, "Hey Tony, you're a dickhead." Only kidding. It says that Hulk Hogan will defend the WCW Championship at Super Brawl on February 23rd, 97. Furthermore, Hogan will have to defend the championship against Roddy Piper, the man who defeated Hollywood Hogan at Starrcade 1996. So there you go, the Super Brawl main event is set in stone. We will, of course, look at Super Brawl when the time comes. Hugh Morris versus Chris Benoit then, and we get to see some of that Benoit intensity right at the opening bell. Chris goes hard at Morris here. Morris eventually comes back with a clothesline to the back of the neck, and the crowd goes quiet. Benoit takes a gorilla press slam that looked pretty impressive. Morris does a little more damage, but Benoit comes back with a hook clothesline, and wow, Benoit is seriously laying it in tonight. Morris breaks a pin attempt by throwing Benoit into the air. A few more strikes get shared between both men, but Morris flattens Benoit with a power slam. Morris then goes up for the No Laughing Matter. It's been renamed to The Last Laugh here apparently. But Morris misses the moonsault and then Chris goes upstairs. Chris nails the diving headbutt, but while all this was going on, someone jumped the guardrail and began pestering woman. Chris gets distracted, Sullivan runs down and he nails Benoit with a wooden chair, and Hugh Morris picks up a pinfall win. This is the WCW debut of Jacqueline. Woman apparently knows who this is, but fans don't have a clue. Mean Gene tries to get to the bottom of this and Jacqueline doesn't give anything away, not even her name. Jimmy Hart says, "This is a problem, the Horsemen are having problems with their women, and Sullivan doesn't need this right now." But Kevin seems to be interested in what Jackie says. She rips in the woman and Deborah's physical appearances before telling Jimmy Hart that the Mouth of the South is a great manager, but he can't provide the Taskmaster with what he really needs. I mean, I'm sure he could if he really wanted to. But the promo ends with a lot of unanswered questions. All we know is that this unnamed woman has history with Sullivan, she wants to help the Taskmaster, and Sullivan seems intrigued. The Giant vs. Hogan then. Hogan gets in the ring and he tells the fans that no one tells Hulk or the NWO what to do. He's going to make an example of the Giant tonight, and Hulk says Piper should come out too, so Hollywood can beat up both guys at the same time. We have around 4 minutes of TV time remaining by the time the Giant makes his entrance. Vincent and Hogan attack the big man as soon as he gets in the ring, but it doesn't take long for the Giant to wipe out both guys and Vincent gets sent to the outside. Hogan gets his head smashed into the top turnbuckles a few times and the Giant chops the NWO champion. Hulk gets choked at the ropes and again he gets his head rammed into the turnbuckle pad. It's been all Giant here. Hogan rakes the Giant's face and this allows the Hulkster to do a little damage afterwards. Giant takes a corner clothesline but he comes right back with another big chop and it isn't looking so good for Hollywood Hogan. Giant hits a weak looking backbreaker and he tries to pin Hulk. Vincent puts Hogan's foot on the ropes and this leads to Vincent taking some punishment. Eric Bischoff then tries to stop Hogan from getting chokeslammed, and just as Giant was about to chokeslam Eric, the Outsiders hit the ring and they lay in a beating. It's a DQ finish, as expected. Lex Luger then comes out and it looks like he might have joined the NWO. He stares at the Giant for a bit, but then he walks around and he stands beside the Giant, and this is how Nitro went off the air. Left with a tough decision here, I didn't think the Raw match was that bad, but I also liked the debut of Jacqueline. I'll go with Raw. Raw gets the final point. Raw wins this week's Reliving the War, and I think that's fair. I actually felt that Raw was better due to the Bulldog match, the Shawn Michaels and Final Four promo, and the surprisingly physical tag team main event. This means we've got 24 points to Raw, 34 points to Nitro, and we've got 10 ties. In the television ratings, Nitro got the win with a 3.6, Raw managed a 2.2. So, 2 hours of Raw from next week, along with 2 hours of Nitro. The plan is to condense a lot of the lower card stuff that goes on in both shows, and also, the head-to-head scoring is going to change. Nitro, on average, has around 11 or 12 promos and matches on a 2-hour broadcast, sometimes making it all the way to 14 or 15. Raw, on the other hand, has around 6 or 7 on average. So you can see the problem we have right away, and you've maybe noticed this over the past few weeks too. Nitro simply packs in more shorter matches and promos in comparison to Raw, making our head-to-heads a little difficult to judge fairly. The weekly winner from next week onwards will just be whatever show I enjoyed the most from start to end, while also highlighting the match of the week and the promo of the week. We'll still flip back and forth from Raw and Nitro. I'll still talk about everything that happens, so the only thing getting cut is the in-depth look at what I feel are the most uneventful matches. Head-to-head scoring over 2 hours is simply not possible. Not only does it not make sense because of the sheer amount of Nitro segments packed into a 2-hour show, but I wouldn't be able to get the videos finished in time either. The production of this thing already takes days out of a week, so I appreciate you sticking with it, and I appreciate you accepting that changes have to be made too. Really, the scoring means very little to me now anyway. It's all about having fun while watching old episodes of Raw and Nitro, and I think the vast majority of you feel the same way based on feedback. I'm still working it out, but Reliving the War will be available next week as usual, and so I hope to see you all then. If you like the series, please subscribe, it helps me out a lot. Thanks for watching, guys, and take care.